Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at comfortkeepers.com.
This is the Up North Lowdown on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Each month, Michigan's Natural Resources Commission meets, makes some decisions. Ellie Katz is going to tell us what happened this month. It was kind of an eventful meeting. We'll hear more in just a moment. But first, some headlines. The Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians has issued an advisory to tribal members about immigration enforcement. The warning urges tribal citizens to identify their status as a citizen of the Grand Traverse Band and a United States citizen, and to present tribal ID if stopped by ICE agents or the Federal Department of Homeland Security. The letter released by the tribe references recent legal cases that allow, quote, Kavanaugh stops, meaning ICE encounters based on perceived ethnicity. Traverse City Light and Power has approved a new plan to get to 100% renewable energy by the year 2040. The ticker reports that the TC-based utility will do so by purchasing power from clean sources like wind, solar, even landfill gas. The utility also plans to look at ways to help customers manage or reduce their energy usage, smart thermostats or electric vehicles. And TC Light and Power plans to decarbonize its own fleet and internal processes. Traverse City, by the way, the first city in Michigan to commit to 100% renewable energy when it did so back in 2018. Northern Michigan's housing market is more resilient than the rest of the country. That's according to Lawrence Yoon, chief economist for the National Association of Realtors. 9 and 10 News reports that Yoon spoke to the Women's Council of Realtors, Northern Michigan. Local home sales here going up, even though they're flat nationwide. Why? Well, you might be able to guess this list. It's a stunningly beautiful place to live, first of all. They call that lifestyle appeal. Interest in having a second home is up. And, of course, we now have the ability to work remotely. Each month, the group of people in charge of regulating all things fish and wildlife meet in Michigan. The Natural Resources Commission is watched closely by people who hunt and fish, environmental groups, and our own Ellie Katz. She covers environment and natural resources here at IPR and is with us now to give a recap. Hey, Ellie.
Good morning, Ed.
Hi. So these meetings are pretty long.
Yeah.
What stuck out to you as you watched this one?
There were a few things that stuck out. The first couple are pretty straightforward, just changes in hunting regulations, which is par for the course for the NRC. So for one, for years, hunters have had to display these paper kill tags on certain animals like deer. And the commission just approved electronic kill tags. So starting March 1st, hunters can use an app to display kill tags. This is optional. But, you know, if you were one of the roughly 30,000 people who lost their paper tag and had to buy a new one, this is a good option.
Wow.
Second hunting regulation thing that happened was that the commission made it easier to kill coyotes year-round on public land. So previously, the season was about 9 months for hunting coyotes with a three-month quiet period. That was to allow mothers to wean their pups. And back in 2024, a couple hunting and trapping groups sued the commission, the NRC, saying that the decision was not based in science. Last summer, a judge ruled that it was based in science and that the decision could stand.
Okay, so the judge said, sorry, people who sued, the commission is well within its rights to do this. It is based in science. It's fine. They had the backup of the court. But the commission went back on that decision anyway and decided to open it up more.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So they said they wanted to, you know, acknowledge all the complaints they've heard over the years. Before this, coyotes could be killed year-round on private property if they were threatening livestock. Now they can be killed for any reason. And during the season, you know, that the NRC has created because they say there are so many of them because they're overabundant. Of course, if that changes, the commission could revisit this.
It's interesting they use the term overabundant. I have a memory of just a few years ago driving in southeast Michigan in a pretty industrial area near Detroit. And it was nighttime, and a coyote just came trotting across the street.
Yeah.
Like in a densely packed area.
Yeah. And there's a lot of coyotes in southeast Michigan.
Wow.
Here they have a little more space to roam on their own.
Sure. What else happened?
So the main thing that piqued my curiosity and my interest at this meeting was actually the very first presentation that someone from the DNR gave. Basically, the DNR's wildlife division made this very passionate, almost desperate plea for more funding. The assistant chief of the wildlife division, you know, the second in command of everything wildlife in Michigan, said, and this is a quote, "We are a division that's functioning on duct tape and a dream."
I feel like the severity of a comment like that comes from its plainspokenness, right? Like usually we hear government officials,
right.
You know, well, we want to leverage our resources to make sure, or whatever government language they use.
Totally.
That's pretty clear.
Yeah, very clear. And this isn't even the first time that this has happened. You know, Fisheries Division has got up and said pretty much the same thing at these meetings. But this is not something you really want to hear from the state division in charge of all wildlife. So that's all animals we hunt. It's also threatened and endangered species. They're in charge of habitat restoration, in charge of wildlife disease, in charge of invasive species management. The list kind of goes on.
You've reported on this a lot before.
Yeah, yeah. So the main source of funding for our fisheries and wildlife divisions in Michigan comes from the sale of hunting and fishing licenses themselves, and then also taxes paid on gear that kind of gets funneled down through the federal government. Mm. This is increasingly becoming a problem because the state legislature has not raised the cost of hunting and fishing licenses since 2014. Mm. So essentially, you know, the wages or the revenue of the DNR, Wildlife and Fisheries Division, have not gone up in over a decade. And the assistant chief, Keith Kintai, of Wildlife Division, shared some pretty eye-popping stats that I think do a good job of just kind of laying out the position that we're in.
Okay.
If you want to hear those.
Yeah. Okay. So I really do think radio studios should come with seatbelts these days. I'm buckled up and ready for this.
Yeah, okay, good.
Lay it on me. What do we got?
All right. So the general fund, which is the big pot of money that the state has to spend on everything, a lot of it is made up of your tax dollars, my tax dollars. How much of that, what percentage do you think goes to the DNR?
I mean, I'm guessing based on not having right. much of it, but like, I would say, I don't know, 10.
Less than a percent.
What?
So less than a percent of your and my tax dollars goes to the DNR. Again,
wow.
Most of their revenue is coming from taxes on outdoor gear, hunting and fishing licenses. And then within that less than 1%, only a tiny fraction of that goes to Wildlife Division. The DNR has many divisions.
Okay.
Kintai, the assistant chief, said the department's costs are getting close to double its annual budget. You know, they have to take care of dams. The cost of maintaining and updating those old dams is about 1.5 times the division's entire budget for everything.
Wow. Okay, so you've got deer hunting licenses. Those have not increased in cost in a while. It's $20 for a Michigan resident. I know your reporting has said when you adjust that for inflation, it's like as inexpensive as a license was since 1929.
Yeah, that's from the DNR. The cost of the license has stayed the same. The cost of everything else has gone up. You know, getting a deer process, getting ammunition, all that's gone up in the last decade.
Well, we've got 49 other states to look at. How do we compare?
Yeah, we have that $20 resident deer license, like you said. So $20 here in Michigan. The national average is $39. According to the DNR, Michigan is the 7th in the nation for total number of hunters, but 33rd in the nation for what each of those hunters spends on licenses. And then when you factor in that we have more public land open for hunting whitetail deer than any other state in the eastern U.S., the gap just kind of widens.
Wow. What does all that tell you as somebody who pays a lot of attention to these issues?
Yeah, I mean, I report on this and still my jaw dropped hearing some of these numbers. You know, they kind of put this into context by saying that Wildlife Division is trying to manage all this land and all these animals on a budget that's only a few million dollars bigger than the Oakland County Parks and Recs Department. But it tells me that the conservation funding model that we've built, this one that's worked for many, many decades, where hunters and anglers pay for conservation, that's not really working anymore. That system is broken. You know, those people are shouldering the cost of maintaining wild places and wildlife that are used in a whole lot of different ways by a whole lot of different people.
And I want to point out, that's not you injecting your opinion. That is widely held by people who have various feelings. The difference, it seems here, comes with how do you address that problem? How do you fix this broken thing?
Totally. Yeah. And a few states in the Midwest have figured this out. So Minnesota and Missouri, for example, both take a slice of state sales tax and set it aside for conservation. You know, that'd be tough for Michigan, just with the way the state legislature is, but it would solve the problem long term, because the issue is, even if the state legislature does increase the cost of hunting and fishing licenses, which again, they haven't done for over a decade, it would just kind of be a Band-Aid on a bigger problem, because fewer people are hunting and fishing. Fewer people are buying those licenses. So, you know, the governor recommended fee increases for the fiscal year budget for 2026. Those did not end up in the final budget. But bottom line is that we have a lot of public land in northern Michigan, a lot of people who hunt and who want to access that land for other reasons. And a lot of people are concerned that if we keep going down this path, our wildlife and fisheries agencies are just going to be delivering the bare minimum.
Ellie, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ed.
Ellie Katz covers environment and natural resources for Interlaken Public Radio. You are listening to the Up North Lowdown, which is a production of IPR. Thanks for listening. And hey, share this podcast with a friend. And while you're at it, rate us and leave us a review.
Hey guys, Dan Wanchura here. Get your game face on, because Pints North Great Lakes Trivia is back. Season 4 features 10 events. We'll be everywhere from Sheboygan to Cleveland, with lots of stops in between. All featuring brand new questions about the land, water, and inhabitants of the Great Lakes, hosted by the Points North podcast team. So, if you love the Great Lakes, a good drink, and lots of cool giveaways, then this is for you. For our complete schedule, go to interlakenpublicradio.org/pintsnorth, and we'll see you out there.